Hello and welcome into this edition of the Golf Channel Podcast with Rex and Lav. What a deliciously delirious day here at the Masters. A better scoring average, and yet just two rounds in the 60s in the third round of the Masters. That does add up to world number one Scottie Scheffler taking a one-shot lead heading into the final round. In second place in the final group is Colin Morikawa, who did shoot one of those two rounds in the 60s. And after that is where it gets very interesting. Max Homa still just two back after a third round that included zero birdies. Ludvig Åberg, three back in his major championship debut. And Bryson DeChambeau, who's just a single shot back with four holes to play in his third round, looked close to an implosion and then holes out from the fairway for birdie on 18 to stay just four shots back. Rex, what a day this was.
It was a day, and I think we talked about this last night. Like, even with the weather on Thursday and certainly Friday with the way the winds were blowing, I still expected this to be the day, the difficult day. It's just the way they do it. It's in the magic formula. It's the secret sauce, whatever it is you want to call it. If you look at Saturday scoring average historically at the Masters, this is always the hardest day, and that's completely by design, because today, at least from a weather standpoint, this was the gettable day. This was the day guys should have gone after. The fact that it was only one round in the 60s, and that was Colin Morikawa's 69. The fact that of all the leaders, really, I would say only Scottie Scheffler and Morikawa were the only two that really did anything on day three. I mean, I think it's an amazing sort of reality here at Augusta that it doesn't matter what Mother Nature throws at them. They're going to dictate exactly how they want their golf course played.
I mean, the place was absolutely on fire. Colin Morikawa is not a Masters veteran by any stretch of the imagination, but he said he'd never seen the golf course quite like this. He called it crispy, called it crusty. Some hole locations, particularly on 17 and 14, just seemed to be cut on little ridges, and the balls were just funneling everywhere. That's why I think, Rex, it was such a huge back nine, second nine for Scottie Scheffler. You think about the mistakes that he made on 10 and 11, not particularly poor shots, but the way that he rebounded first with the momentum saving putt on 12 to save par, then the eagle on 13, the 30 footer back up the hill. 15, he's behind the green, a spot that, you know, just moments earlier, Ludvig Åberg had failed to get up and down, and in fact had made bogey from. And the 15th hole, traditionally a reachable par five that's really easy for the players, was a very difficult par. And Scottie Scheffler gets up and down and makes birdie. And then obviously we saw how he closed it out on 18, carving that fade in there to take the one-shot lead after he made that birdie putt. It does now set up an interesting situation. Not quite the decisive advantage that Scottie Scheffler had in 2022, but now Scottie Scheffler, the world number one, a player who has been doing Tiger-like things, things we haven't seen in the past 15 years, now can go get his second green jacket in 3 years. How do you like Scottie's chances as the calendar turns to Sunday?
He was the favorite on Monday when we talked. He's going to be the favorite on Saturday when we talked. And more than likely, if you ask me tomorrow morning when we do our live from hit, he's still going to be the favorite because nothing has changed. He's still doing Scottie Scheffler things. And that means he's hitting a lot of fairways and he's hitting sublime iron shots, which is what this golf course dictates. Now, early in his round today, you and I both saw it. He looked a little shaky on the putts. And I think that might be as much a byproduct of the things you just brought up. The idea that today the greens were crispy. It seems like, compared to where we were on Thursday when we got the rain to where we are now, it was night and day. And that's an adjustment guys have to make. I thought it was interesting, and I know we're going to get to Morikawa, so I'm not trying to jump ahead here, but Colin was sort of asked about the conditions that they face today versus what he has seen in the past. And he brought up a good point that he played his first Masters in 2020. And if we go back and sort of start walking our way through, since 2020, it's been almost nothing but cold, wet, relatively soft conditions. You had your you had your November Masters in that window, which was, we all know, a scoring bonanza. So this is entirely new to him. And again, we're going to get into Colin Morikawa, but as it applies to Scottie Scheffler, you would look at the way he putted early. He was a little shaky, all the things that sort of raise those red flags. When it comes to Scottie Scheffler, if you're going to find something to criticize or be concerned about or start picking his game apart, it's going to be the putting. But then he was solid coming down the stretch. So I'm not saying it's an impossible task because this is golf and weird things happen. But Colin Morikawa and the rest of the field have a tough task.
They certainly have a tough task. I just got out of Scottie Scheffler's press conference. And obviously one of the main topics of discussion was the revelation that Scottie had after the final round, after he'd won his first Masters while saying that he was crying on Sunday morning with his wife Meredith, basically wondering, am I ready for this? And Scotty was asked about that repeatedly, but he made a very important distinction, Rex, that I think is going to serve him well this Sunday. Back in 2022, if you remember, at the beginning of that year, Scotty Scheffler was winless on the PGA Tour. Then, in quick succession, he wins in Phoenix, he wins Bay Hill, he wins the match play to go to world number one, and then 2 weeks later, he heads into the Masters as a favorite for the golf tournament, and all of a sudden, after Saturday night, staked to the 54-hole lead in three shots. And so it was clearly a whirlwind. And so he was literally saying, am I ready for this? Our lives are changing in such unimaginable ways that even he did not know how he was going to handle it. Now, he performed quite admirably on that Sunday and won in pretty much a cakewalk. An entirely different situation now, 2 years later. The undisputed world number one has been playing better, more consistently excellent golf over the past 2 or 3 years than anyone in the sport. He's about to become a father. Meredith is not here. He's back in the house, but with his buddies now, it's going to be an entirely different situation that I think would actually behoove him instead of that sort of taut atmosphere that he had in 2022 where he didn't quite know what to expect. He certainly does this Sunday.
Who's going to be, I mean, it begs the question, who's going to be there for him tomorrow morning when he wakes up in the fetal position again and starts questioning himself? Because it's not going to be his buddies. Well, maybe it will be. I don't know.
It's going to be his buddies. He said his friends are the only ones in the house.
If his buddies are anything like my buddies, trust me, they will not be consoling me. They would be throwing things at me and telling me to stand up, telling me to sort of shake it off, walk it off. You're going to be fine. But I don't think clearly. He's at a different stage in his career. I don't think he's going to have to deal with those same emotions that he dealt with last time around. I do think that coming into this week, and he would never say it because this isn't in Scottie Scheffler's DNA, but he had to hear all the noise. He had to hear people like you and I saying that Scottie Scheffler was in one category and the rest of the field was in another category. We start having ridiculous conversations like Scottie Scheffler against the field, like we did with Tiger Woods in his prime, and that has to have some sort of impact. And I'm not saying it's going to be a negative impact, but certainly it comes with a new set of challenges. It comes with a new set of pressures, and it will be fun to watch how he sort of embraces this new chapter.
He has to at least somewhat be looking in the mirror when he sees his final round opponent on Sunday in Kyle Morikawa, an absolute ball striking savant who has occasionally struggled on and around the greens throughout his career. Kyle Morikawa, though, has not been very Colin Morikawa-esque in 2024. Zero top tens in his last six starts, actually 80th in strokes gained approach this season. He is typically one of the best iron players on the PGA Tour year in and year out, a generational iron player at that. And yet Kyle Morikawa was one who fired just one of the two rounds in the 60s on Saturday. Made a note that he said he changed putters between his first and second rounds, but really it was the swing feel that he discovered on the range with caddy JJ Jakovic on Monday. He's not going to disclose what he learned, as if for some reason Scottie Scheffler would hear that tip and implement it into his own game. But this has been a long time coming for Kyle Morikawa, a two-time major champion at age 27, who said he's been searching since basically the beginning of 2022. How surprised are you, Rex, to see Kyle Morikawa, who is the player he'll be facing off directly with Scottie Scheffler?
I'm very surprised. I don't know why you wouldn't be. To be fair, though, I'm going to go back to your comment. I don't think Colin doesn't want to tell us whatever it is he and JJ discovered on the range on Monday, because he thinks Scotty's going to discover it. I think he doesn't want to tell us because, as he said, as he kind of whispered almost to himself after he was asked today, like, I'm not going to say it at least for one more day as long as it holds up. Like, I think that kind of shows.
Wants to make sure it works.
Yes, I think that sort of shows you his frame of mind right now. He was asked his level of confidence coming into this week, and he sort of gave one of those, like an emoji, I don't know.
Quote, iffy. Quote, a little iffy.
A little iffy. And I don't know that anyone's ever won the Masters coming into it feeling, how you feel, Tiger? A little iffy. Not quite sure how that's going to work out. So I do think it's interesting. As you pointed out, this has not been the same guy, at least for the last year. And actually, he sort of revealed tonight in his press conference that it was at the end of 2022 when he got back from Dubai. That he felt like things started to unravel, that he wasn't doing the Colin Morikawa things, which is just unbelievably good iron play, specifically long iron play. That's how he won his major championships. That's how he sort of made his bones. He's been searching ever since. And the idea is that he and JJ found something about midday on the range on Monday. They're high-fiving each other. When you hear him talk, I'm drawn to the idea that this is a dude that is more artist than scientist. because we've talked Bryson DeChambeau early in the week. But when he was asked, was there a moment this week when you felt like everything coalesced? And he didn't miss a beat. It was on the fifth hole. He said he had 192 yards. It was downwind, and he had to hit it like a choke down six iron, you know, kind of hold it up into the wind. And he said it's not a pin you could go at, but it landed pin high and rolled out to 20 feet. That's probably a shot that those watching at home sort of shrugged at, like, oh, you know, decent shot, no big deal. For someone like that, that plays the game that the way that 99% of the public can never empathize with, because we have no idea what it's like to do that, for it to resonate that much, I was so impressed and so blown away that, yep, this was the moment when everything seemed to coalesce.
Colin Morikawa was very quick to say that it is not perfect, that he still does not have complete command,
but it's not
of
iffy.
His golf swing at the moment. It's no longer iffy. In fact, it's probably veering towards solid at this point, but he does at least know the ball that's coming directly out of the club face. He knows where it's starting. He knows he can trust his cut shot, which is in this patented shot shape since as long as he has swung a golf club. To me, he is a fearsome pairing with Scottie Scheffler, because he does have the major championship chops. In fact, he's won more and more major than Scottie Scheffler has to this point. He knows what that Sunday arena is going to be like. He knows the emotions that he's going to be feeling. He said that he would not be afraid to go toe-to-toe with the best player in the world. And I think that that's could be a very dangerous position to be. It is interesting to think, though, Rex, that Colin Morikawa is just 18 holes away from capturing the third leg of the career Grand Slam at age 27. And the one missing piece would actually be the major that you think he would be best suited for, which would be the U.S. Open. That traditionally, when his golf swing is in fine form, he is a very straight driver of the golf ball. We just talked about his iron prowess, and he has kind of that bulldog mentality, and is very patient, plays golf courses in an incredibly smart and strategic way. All of a sudden, the conversation surrounding Colin Morikawa gets very interesting as well. How about Max Homa and Bryson DeChambeau, Rex, on Saturday? Again, no birdies for Max Homa, but just slips barely down the leaderboard. And Bryson DeChambeau, a very eventful 75. But after that hole out for birdie on 18, after driving it into the trees, still is a bit of a long shot to steal this green jacket.
Maybe we've been doing this too long together, because I knew exactly where you were going. Because so I jotted down quick notes on, because this is where you were going to go with this. Homa shot 73 today, and he's two back. And I still strongly believe that he is the type of player that can put together a run, because that's what they do on Sunday at the Masters. I mean, I think what we saw today is traditionally the Saturday of the Masters. Tomorrow will be entirely different. I would expect tomorrow afternoon, there'll be a lot of birdies. There'll be a lot of eagles. We'll have the roars going through the trees, and someone will make a run. And I feel
they're going to have to throw a lot of water on that golf course if they want to see a lot of birdies on Sunday, Rex.
Again, I don't think anybody can manipulate a golf course like Augusta National. If they want it to be relatively soft, relatively receptive on the back nine tomorrow, then they can figure out a way to make it. And I like Homa doing that. I don't like Bryson DeChambeau doing that. And it's not because of any reason other than the fact he had a brilliant first round and has really struggled since. Had he not holed out, he wouldn't even really be in the conversation right now. He'd probably be too far back for us to even seriously consider him a serious contender at this point. He just hasn't played well since Thursday. He didn't play particularly well yesterday. I think I kind of dismissed it just conditions wise. It was tough on everyone. Today was a little bit different. He looks like he was out of sorts. He looked like he was frustrated. It looked kind of like the player that we've seen the last 2 years, but I can definitely see Max making a run tomorrow.
You can. Max Homa has not made a birdie, Rex, in 32 holes. He has not made a birdie since the fourth hole in the second round. What gives you any sort of belief that he's about to somehow become a birdie machine and fill it up on the second nine at Augusta National?
Because the things he's doing well should serve him well tomorrow. And that's going back to what Scottie Scheffler does well. That's going back to what we just talked about with Colin Morikawa. The idea that the strength of his game is his iron play, specifically his long iron play. And if the door does open up tomorrow, if the floodgates are opened and Augusta sets it up for speed and sets it up for fun on Sunday, I can see him going on a run. I'm not predicting it, but that's the one. If you're asking me to pick between the two, I guess I would flip it and say, so you think Bryson's the guy out of those two that's going to make the run?
Yeah, I think this was probably Bryson's bad round. He is a above average putter, and he really struggles on the greens.
This is his bad round?
On Saturday. I believe so. I think if you look at the 15th hole, where he was just slightly left of where he needed to be, got blocked out by the tree, had to bail out way right, and then was just, that was an impossible third shot that he had into 15. You could see that that was going to be a chunk all day long, and ended up walking off with a double bogey. If he just gets out of there with par, I think it's an entirely different ballgame. He's just one shot back at that point, and he's going to be in great position to win this Masters.
And if he doesn't hold out from the fairway, he's four shots back. Like, come on.
But he did.
Don't do the revisionist thing.
Like, but he did. But he did. He is such an
immense... And he did make a 7 on 15, so I can come back with you on that.
He has such a massive advantage with his driver that if he has that thing grooved, and they do set up the golf course more receptive and soft on Sunday, he can absolutely capitalize with some of his short irons and wedges and make a run up the leaderboard. We haven't even talked,
Rex, par over his last 36 holes.
We have not even talked, Rex, about Ludvig Åberg. This is an amazing story. I think everyone was curious. I think everyone was sort of optimistic of how Ludvig Åberg would play in not just his Masters debut, but his major championship debut. How quickly he came out of Texas Tech and burst on the scene of the PGA Tour, winning the RSM at the end of 2023. Obviously, we saw his starring role that he played in his Ryder Cup debut. Do you think Luda can get it done in the A?
No, I don't think so. I think today was a chance for him to go in one direction or the other. That being said, so much respect. Like, I think he is what we thought he was going to be. He was a rookie. He was a first-timer in name only. And the poised player that we've seen through 54 holes, and mistakes happened, and he got on the wrong side sometimes, and maybe that is being a little bit of a rookie. But when you actually watched him play the golf course, it looked like he was making his 10th start. It looked like the way he was plotting himself around. Now, that becomes a little bit easier when, well, two things. One, when you have an experienced caddy like Joe Skavron on his bag, which is really helping out this week. And two, when you're a golf robot, when you're hitting the ball where you're looking. I think I looked today at a couple of his shots in a row, consecutive shots, had zero curve on them. And it, I didn't even think that was possible.
Just
a machine.
Just,
I mean,
an,
that's
absolute,
like, unicorn
machine
stuff. So if you have zero curve on, and we're not talking about wedges here, we're talking about drives and long irons, it's that kind of makes the golf course a little bit easier to play, even if you've never done it before. So I'm wildly impressed. I can't say I'm particularly surprised, but no, I don't think he has the firepower just yet, or he's in a position to be able to chase down a guy like Scottie Scheffler or Colin Morikawa the way he's playing right now. Footnote.
Yeah, I think it's more the difficulty of erasing three-shot deficit to Scottie Scheffler than it is any sort of deficiency in Ludvig Åberg's game. Like, he has to be on the short list of players to win the PGA Championship or the U.S. Open just based purely on his ball strike. And the one weakness that he has had this week at Augusta National, and probably no surprise since it's his first trip around here, is around the greens. He is losing strokes to the field on and around the greens with his chipping, with his pitching. That really popped up to me on the 15th hole, where he was just over the back, hit a phenomenal, probably a 5-wood or so over the back on 15.
That's
a golden opportunity to get that up and down, and instead flubs that chip, then does not get it up and down from there, and walks off with a demoralizing 6 that could have instead turned into a 4. I think it's an entirely different ball game on Sunday. That pressure will only ratchet up on Sunday, some of those nervy shots around the greens. It's probably not his time yet, but I also wouldn't be surprised, since this dude is an absolute golfing machine at age 24, if somehow he does factor really, really late on Sunday. Before we get out of here, Rex, we talked about Tiger Woods, a tribute to his grit, to his determination, to his perseverance on Friday, making the cut for the 24th consecutive time. On Saturday, though, a personal low. An 82, 10 over par for Tiger Woods. His worst score ever in a major championship as a pro. Even worse than the 81 that he shot on Saturday at the 2002 Open in the worst of the weather. Not his worst round on the PGA Tour or his worst round ever in a major. That, of course, came as an amateur in 1995 when he shot 85. But Rex, this was a pretty sad sight. The expectations have to be low, although Tiger did vow to return here Sunday at Augusta National.
I think playing 72 holes is probably going to be a bit of a victory for him. And I don't want to downplay the fact that today was an awful round. I would be curious, in his heart of hearts, how close he was to walking off the golf course when he made the turn today. Because not only were things going bad, and take that out of the equation, like, look, he's going to grind it out. He's done it his entire career. It looked as though he was in serious pain. We've seen this movie before. We know how it ends. And when he starts laboring like that, and when he starts, you could see the shots, and they even talked about it on the telecast. They were pretty much nothing but upper body shots. He wasn't able to use his lower body at all. He wasn't able to sort of cover the golf ball. He wasn't able to get his right shoulder into the golf ball. Those are all alarm bells that we've seen time and time again. And so there was a part of me that was just kind of half expecting him to walk off the golf course after nine holes. So all credit to him.
Same as I literally left the media building.
I wasn't going to throw you under the bus. I know. I
went to the media building, got in the golf cart, went down. It was basically trying to cut him off where he would have potentially gone to his car. More power to him to gutting it out, even during an awful day. Came home with 40 on the second nine. Want to keep this quick because I know you have a live from hit to do on Saturday night from Augusta National. Who is your winner? At what number? And by how many?
Scotty Scheffler. We started him at the beginning of the week. He's leading. I can't imagine why. I'm curious. I'm sure you'll probably come up with a reason why you're going to come off of him. The winning number is going to be interesting to me because, again, I think they set it up for low scoring tomorrow, at least on the second nine. I think they expect to see some sort of excitement. So I don't think they get to 10 under, but I think somewhere in the nine category is probably a good number right now. However, that being said, there could be a run, or Scotty could go out and just be brilliant. So if he gets to 10, I think it's a done deal. If he gets to nine, I like his chances still.
10 under par is exactly where Scotty Scheffler won in 2022. That is exactly where I think he will finish in 2024. Give me Scotty Scheffler I'm going to go with three. Scotty Scheffler by three shots, and I'll give it Ludwig.
He's going to win by three.
I think Scotty Scheffler is going to win by three over Ludwig Åberg. Then again, I have been wrong in the past, and I will likely be wrong again. All right, that is going to do it for this edition of Golf Channel Podcast with Rex and Lab. You guys know the drill. NBCSports.com/golf for the latest news, notes, and updates. I'll have a story on Scotty Scheffler up on the website here momentarily that I hope you guys enjoy. Rex and I will be back for a full-length Masters breakdown on Sunday night right after play ends. Hope you guys tune in for that. We do appreciate all of the support, all the downloads this week. It has been a lot of fun bringing these mini pods to you. We'll be back on Sunday night. Enjoy the final round of the 88th Masters.